This is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, verse 5, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's what he wanted us to have. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Light doesn't mix with darkness. When the scripture speaks of light, it speaks of holiness. It speaks of godliness. It speaks of biblical truth. Light. He's light. He's utterly holy. Utterly glorious. And he makes no compromise with sin. And the consequence is obvious. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because light doesn't compromise with darkness. He is altogether holy, wholly harmless, separate from sinners. And if we come to him looking for fellowship, steeped in sin, continuing in our sin, light has no fellowship with darkness. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So that's the problem. How do we deal with our sinful nature? And we ended by asking ourselves this question. What do we know of true fellowship? Fellowship with the Christ who sits upon the throne at the right hand of his Father and is light, who is utterly holy and makes no compromise with sin. He goes on to tell us that there is forgiveness. Yes, there is forgiveness, but we have to have this appetite to be free of the old man, to be free of this appetite for the ways of the world. We're not talking about perfectionism. We're admitting that we are sinful creatures, and we're admitting that we need to be forgiven. But what John is looking for is an appetite. He wants his readers to be longing for holiness, to be seeking to walk in the light, that they might walk with the Savior, that they might know this fellowship that he wanted them to know, verse 3, and the joy of Christ that he wanted them to know, verse 4. So that's where we got to the last time. But now we want to go forward. We want to go forward. The amazing prospect of having fellowship with Christ upon the throne, delighting in his satisfaction, his sufficiency. But we have to do something about this problem of sin that we have. This morning we were hearing about the motives to holiness. What we're going to see now, as I try to take you quickly from chapter 1 to chapter 4, what we're going to see is some of the aids. It's all very well having motives to a holy life, thinking it would be a good thing. There'd be rewards in having a holy life. But how do we get there? How do we get rid of this old man? How do we change in such a way that we can truly walk in the light? Not without occasionally falling, no, of course not, but have a longing for holiness, a longing to walk with the Savior, that we might know this fellowship with Christ there upon the throne, that joy, that is satisfaction in all that he is. Well, the first The first blessing we have is here that we've just talked about, verse 9, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is that glorious forgiveness for sin, that work of Christ upon the cross, when he paid the price and we can be washed clean. But then, there's more. We need more. And if we go forward to chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, we find the next help that he gives us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. That's the issue we're dealing with. How do we get rid of sin? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Just stop and think about that. What is John saying? He's saying there that in glory, at God the Father's right hand, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, is praying for us. Do you remember how the Lord prayed for Peter when he was tempted to deny Christ and did? In heaven, Christ himself, believer, is praying for you that you might have success in your battle for faith, in your battle for a walk which is in the light, which would be accepted by a holy God, a life in which you might have fellowship with the Saviour. And that in which you might delight in his wonder, in all that he does for you, not just in the past, in forgiven sins, but today, all that he's promised to do for you in the future, all that he'll do for you next year. Do you know, God's goodness to you in the past is nothing compared to the goodness that he has laid up for you in the future. Why do I say that? Well, how old are you? Suppose you were converted at birth. You're 20, 30, 40 years old, whatever it is. God's been good to you for 20, 30, 40 years. But he's promised to be good to you in all the eternity of the future. The past is dwarfed by what God has in store for his people. That's the delight. John wants us to know fellowship with the risen Christ and to delight in all that he is for us. And not only is there forgiveness, but we're told secondly here in 1 John 2, he's praying for us. He's praying for us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? John's working through a whole series of things which God is doing for us. But what I want to point you to next is 1 John 2 and verse 5. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Here is the test. Do we keep his word? Remember in the Gospel of John, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. This God who is light is looking for obedience in us. And that's what we're struggling for. We've said already that there is forgiveness when we fail. We've said already that he's interceding for us. That we might succeed in our battle for faith. But he wants to take us forward. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, there's another step. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Here's a new dimension. Not only is there forgiveness, not only, secondly, is he interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, but we're now born of God. There's that work of grace we were hearing about this morning, where a child is born again in Christ. Read it again. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit a sin. So there is that aid, that there is that change, that conversion that should be changing us. We are his children. He delights in us. He lives in us. He lives in us. Look at the climax at the end of chapter 24 of John chapter 3. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. This is how we know. We see our lives changed. We see that there is a difference. In 1 John 2, verses 7 and 8, John sets out a test, which he's going to use quite a lot. Chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the light now shineth. Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Here's the test. If you want to know how far this work of grace has gone in your life, how close you are to walking in the light alongside your God, then ask yourself this question. Do I love my neighbor? He talks about it being an old commandment and a new commandment. And in fact, if you look in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 18, you find exactly that commandment, to love our brethren there deep in the Old Testament. If you look in John chapter 13, verse 34 in the New Testament, you find Christ giving that same commandment. We are to love our brethren. Here is the test. This is how we can gauge how far we are along the pathway to that state where we're walking in the light. And yes, we fail from time to time, but we have forgiveness. We have the advocate with the Father. We are his children. And we're being changed. And we begin to know something of that fellowship. In our worship, it's not just an empty meeting of friends, people we know well and like being with. It's when we, together with our fellow believers, fellowship with Christ. There in the glory, in our prayer, there is a reality. And then also, there is that joy, those two things that John wanted his readers to know. Fellowship with the risen Christ and joy in believing. Joy in all that he is for us. Water, which leaves us never thirsting again. Bread, which satisfies us. The climax then. And so, what we've said so far, as we come to chapter 4, first of all, yes, there is forgiveness when we fail in our attempt to walk in the light. Secondly, there is an intercessor, Jesus Christ himself, 1 John 2, 4. Thirdly, we are born again children. And fourthly, God takes up residence in our lives. That last verse of chapter 3 of 1 John. He that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us, because the Spirit he hath given us. He's given us that indwelling Holy Spirit. So I want now to come to this topic that I said I wanted to get to. 1 John 4, verse 8 and verse 16. In both places we're told, God is love. But Candlish, in his comments on 1 John, makes an interesting remark about this verse 16. If you look at verse 16, what does it say? We know and believe the love that God hath to us. And what he says is, a literal translation wouldn't say the love that God has to us. It says the love that God has in us. The love that God has in us. Now, why is that important? Why have I made such a big thing of that? I need to remind you of the fruits of the Spirit. You might want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. There are 9 fruits. But notice the first fruit there. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love. And John has taken us down this pathway to show us that not only can we be forgiven, not only is Christ interceding for us, not only are we born again, but the Spirit of God indwells the believer. Indwells the believer. And God is love. You see what he's saying? If the Spirit comes into your heart, believer, he comes in as the God of love. The God of love. Do you remember that test that John set before us? To love the brethren. He highlighted it. That's the way, that's a key test to know how we're walking with the Lord. is there that change? When a person is converted, the Spirit of God comes into their hearts and he comes as God who is love. Isn't that amazing? Suddenly it all makes sense. You see why John has been emphasizing this question of love for the brethren? Because when the Spirit comes in, that's what he does. The God of love comes in to the heart of the believer, and they are changed. You see how what an amazing help that is. But go stay with the fruits of the Spirit. Let's see what the second fruit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Do you remember what John wanted for his readers back there in chapter 1? He wanted them to know joy in believing. Joy in the sufficiency of Christ. In all that he is. His glorious promises. His track record, if you like, so far. But all the promises of the future. And the Spirit comes in. And he gives us that joy. But there's more again. Do you remember the other thing that John wanted his readers to know? Not just joy in believing, but fellowship with Christ. And look at the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. Are they not the fruits that would make a person an acceptable fellow worker in the work of the church, in the gospel team, in those who are seeking to present the gospel to men and women. Just look at them. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, we've talked about those, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no falling out with people like that. You see how amazing are the helps that God gives to his people. Yes, forgiveness. An advocate in heaven. That we should be the children of God. The indwelling Holy Spirit. God himself, who is love. Indwelling. The Holy Spirit. Giving us joy, peace, long-suffering. All of these things. What a glorious church is a church made up by people who have these qualities. People in whom the Spirit is at work fruitfully. Harmony. Unity in worship. In seeking the Saviour. In rejoicing in him. In sharing in his goodness. What a church. Is a church where the members have the indwelling Spirit of God. That's what God is, that's what John is setting before us. It's an amazing prospect. And the challenge comes, well, what do we know of that? What do we know of these things? Is there a change in your life? Back in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. John says this, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." He says, now just stop and think. Just think about God's love which has saved you. Have you ever done that? Stopped to meditate on the love of God which saved you. The scripture is full of comments about this. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God recommends, he advertises, he displays his love for you, sinner. How? In that while you were still steeped in sin, while you were yet a sinner, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. When you were unlovely, when you were walking far from that light, oh then, even then, he sent his Son to die for you. Or again in Philippians 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You have problems. All the sufficiency of Christ, my God shall supply your needs, your problems. My God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. None of your needs are beyond his capacity to deal with them. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Your anxiety, your fears, your problems, whatever they may be, casting them upon the altogether capable, loving, willing Saviour. You see, delight in this God of love, who in the person of his Spirit has come into your life and into your heart and stands ready to provide, to lead, and to change you. It's a lovely verse in Isaiah chapter 51. In fact, it's two verses, 12 and 13. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die? How dare you? How dare you be afraid when this God of love indwells your heart and has made such glorious promises to you? I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man that shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. How ridiculous it is, believer, for you to be fearful. This altogether capable God, this God of love, who's engaged himself to you, he's on your side. He's promised, he'll provide. Scripture says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God by his Spirit, this God who is love, dwells within you, believer. And he goes on to say, we must therefore glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are his. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are his. So in closing, believer, how is it with you? Does the Spirit have free course in your life? This God of love, the fruits of the Spirit, are they becoming evident in your life? Is there evidence that you're walking in the light? Because if there is, then you have good hope of fellowshipping with the risen, glorified Christ and being able to rejoice in all the sufficiency of the Saviour, as John desired there in chapter 1 of this epistle. What a prospect. So how is it? How is it with you tonight? Let's all pray. Our gracious God, we bow before thee and we confess that we're not the people that we should be. And we remind ourselves that thou knowest us altogether. Thou knowest our down-sitting, our uprising. There's nothing hidden from thee. And oh, our Father, we pray, help us. Help us to be temples for the glorious third member of the Trinity, the Spirit, the God of love, that he might have free course in our lives, that we might be to the praise of thy glory, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen.